For our scripture reading this morning, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Fitting to read these verses during this Christmas time. Luke, chapter 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice highly, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of your Lord, let it be to me according to your word," and the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reading of your word. We thank you for these words, that more than ever during this time, to help us concentrate on what is truly the meaning for this Christmas season, and that is the gift of your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. We will depart, obviously, from our series through Acts, and for this week and actually next couple weeks, we're going to look at a few different things. But this morning, appropriately, we come to the book of Acts and Acts chapter 1. Now, I have a question for you all right now, and I like to ask it this time of year, and especially concerning what we're going to look at this morning, but are you all ready for Christmas? Are you ready? I mean, yeah, everything is done, you are set, you're ready to go. Okay, a couple of you. One is shaking their head, yes. Okay, two, all right, there's a couple. But I don't know, for you, what sort of things you go through. I know for us, it is a busy time of year. Around our house, some of the things that we do in preparation for Christmas are obviously deciding what kind of gifts we want to get for our friends and our loved ones. It involves, obviously, shopping for those gifts, purchasing those gifts, organizing whatever special plans that we might have surrounding those gifts, buying Christmas goodies, redecorating the house, rearranging the furniture so that the Christmas tree will fit, getting a Christmas tree. Maybe for some of you, it's assembling the Christmas tree, okay, and then stringing the lights around it, decorating it, watering it if it's real. Okay, don't water your fake ones. Preparing Christmas cards, mailing them, maybe putting up some ornaments outside the house, wrapping Christmas presents, tagging Christmas presents, putting them under the tree. And we haven't even talked about maybe some of those special things that you're doing for church, like decorating the church. Thank you all that were involved in that. You took time out of your time out of your week, and it looks wonderful. Maybe you're doing a special tonight, so you had to pick a song, practice a song, you'll have to sing it. Maybe you do a scripture reading for your family, or a special Christmas devotional, or for me, I prepare special Christmas messages. And all of these things are done in preparation for Christmas. Maybe special fellowships. And by now, I've probably reminded you of something you've forgotten. But for this morning, what I want you to do is just take a deep breath. Yeah. Well, you can get that while I'm preaching, all right? Take your mind just for a few minutes here this morning and stop focusing on your Christmas preparations. And I want us to look at God's Christmas preparations. I want to look at some of the things that He prepared. These were things, now, while they're spoken directly to Mary, they were prepared for you and I. These are God's Christmas preparations that we're going to look at this morning. And He did it for us. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. But before we read any of that, by a show of hands, who here has heard the saying, it's not the gift, but the thought that counts? All right, you've heard that, right? All right. I think that saying was invented for people like me. I hate to say it, I am not a gift giver, okay? That's not my art. That's not my gift, all right? But I think that saying was invented as a way to make a person who put absolutely no preparation into a lousy gift, make them feel better. Okay, Brad, you have a comment?
I think you give a gift every
Sunday. Oh, well. it's closing the sermon, right? Oh, my. All right, let's get back on topic here, okay? All right. It's the thought that counts. You know what? I think we just need to close in prayer right now. All right, let's go. Are we back? All right, are we back? Are we back? Truly, truly, the very best gifts are the ones that have a lot of thought put into them. Okay, there's a lot of preparation. The very best gifts are the ones that are prepared for. And while, again, the preparations that we're going to read about this morning are specifically directed toward Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Christ, they reflect the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind. And there was a lot of preparation that went into that. We're only going to look at a small portion of that this morning. Let's begin and let's read verses 26 through 29. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." Our first preparation that we find here is this. God prepared an unexpected encounter. He prepared an unexpected encounter. Some of the greatest gifts are oftentimes the ones that we don't necessarily expect. Okay, we might, it's like a surprise birthday party, right? We know our birthday is coming, but the gifts and the fellowship is all the more great because it was a surprise. It was kind of unexpected. Many of you know that my son Andrew is recently engaged to be married. And he and Rachel, actually, they had talked about marriage for quite some time and actually made some plans even before he ever popped the question. He does things backwards like that. But anyway, even though they talked about it and they had kind of made some plans, Rachel had no idea of how and when Andrew might propose. However, anyway, yeah, so this past Thanksgiving, while Rachel thought Andrew was still at school or with friends or something like that, not with her in Indiana, okay? They had planned a video call. You've heard of Skype, okay, where you can see each other. It's like a phone call over the internet. They had planned it for one morning at a particular hour, and they had this call planned where they're going to talk to each other. Of course, she thinks he's back in the West someplace. Unbeknownst to Rachel, though, Andrew had secretly flown to Indiana. Her dad had secretly picked him up at the airport, and when it came time for their video call, he actually called her. She was upstairs in her bedroom on her computer. He was downstairs on her dad's computer, okay? And he says to her, "Now hold on a minute, I've got a surprise for you." And he leaves the computer screen, goes over to the stairs and say, "Hey, Rachel, come down here." And it was a great reunion. I got to see the video and everything. It was a joyous reunion. There was hugs and it was happiness. And it was unexpected. It was sometimes the greatest gifts are those that we don't necessarily expect. All right? And that is really what we find right here. God sent Gabriel to Mary. Gabriel, of course, was an angel of God. He happened to be the angel that was tasked with some of the greatest messages to deliver. He delivered some prophetic messages to Daniel in the Old Testament. He had the opportunity to deliver the message of John the Baptist, the one who would be the forerunner of the Christ and his birth. And now here he is delivering the message of the Messiah. The Messiah, the Christ is coming. Now, we learn some details about this encounter in these verses. In verse 26, we are told about 6 months. And what that is 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth was a relative of Mary. She was the one that would give birth to John the Baptist. That's what the 6 month is here. But also, we learn that Mary was a virgin who was engaged to be married to Joseph. And for those who doubt the meaning of the word virgin, there's a little bit of controversy surrounding that word. Mary will clarify it here in just a few minutes, all right? But here she is. She's a virgin, betrothed to this man, Joseph. But here God is. He sent Gabriel to Mary. Why? Well, because God favored Mary. Let's look at verse 28 again. It says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you.'" You see, Mary met several criteria, messianic criteria. And here are some of them. Both Mary and Joseph were of the house and lineage of David. And that was important because the Old Testament predicted that the Christ, the Messiah, must be born of King David's line. Also, we are told that the Lord was with Mary, meaning that Mary was a godly young woman, okay? She was submitted to the ways of God. But also, Mary was a virgin, and that was important because the prophet Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore, the Lord himself," this pertains to the Messiah, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. This will be the Son of God here on earth. But there are many. There were probably dozens of young ladies that may have fit that criteria. There may have been dozens of virgins that were engaged, that were of the house and lineage of David, okay? They may have been godly young women, but here's the bottom line. God favored Mary. It was God's choice. It was God's choice. It was nothing that Mary did. God simply favored her. God sent Gabriel to Mary. God favored Mary, and then also Gabriel's message troubled Mary. While Mary probably knew some of the promises that we had just read from the Old Testament, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, she never expected that God would favor her with this honor. Listen to verse 29 again. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. It wasn't that she didn't believe that there was an angel standing before her. It wasn't that she didn't even believe the message, that he was delivering a message. It was more about, are you sure you've got the right girl? Okay, I mean, this is a big neighborhood. All the houses, I'm sure, look the same from heaven. Are you sure you've got the right girl in this? Because this is a huge honor and a huge responsibility. And she was troubled by this message. And then we hear verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Ah, he does have the right house. He's talking to Mary. "For you have found favor with God." The greatest gifts are oftentimes those that we don't necessarily expect. And as God was about to give the greatest gift that has ever been given, he prepared this unexpected encounter. And if you have trusted Christ for salvation from your sin, take a moment out of your busy week this week and thank God for the unexpected messenger that he sent to you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take time to do that. The greatest gifts are oftentimes the ones we least expect. Next, this morning, God prepared an undeserved honor. God prepared an undeserved honor. Let's read verses 30 through 33. It says there, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" God prepared an undeserved honor. Not long ago, I watched a video online. It was from a group of people that stage, practical jokes, and then film them and post them online. That's all they do, is they stage a practical joke out in public. They'll film it, post it so everybody can see it. And this particular video had a group of about 50 people standing close to a bike path in a city park. They're just kind of milling around there. But as soon as somebody was out for their morning bike ride and they're traveling down the path, as soon as they approached this crowd, the crowd would swarm the path, put a string, a finish line string across the path, and as soon as the person got close to it, they would begin cheering and chanting and celebrating. And they would pull the person off of their bike and hoist them up on their shoulders and cheer. And they'd put them up on a pedestal and hand them a trophy as if, "All right, now say something." And here's these people that they did this to, completely puzzled. They have no idea what they've done. They have no idea why they're being honored. And they simply accept it. They're being honored for being ordinary, all right? And they did this time and time again. It was an undeserved honor. They did nothing to merit the reward other than humbly accept it. And there they are standing with their trophy and people waiting for them to say something. But anyway, Mary would bear a son. Some of the details here about Mary's reward. First of all, she would bear a son. She would conceive in her womb a son. Now, a son alone was one of the greatest honors that could be bestowed upon a Jewish woman, because only through a son could a lineage be passed. And she didn't even have to choose a name. God did that for her as well. His name will be Jesus. But it gets better. Not only would he be born through Mary, not only would Jesus be the Son of Man, but this Jesus would be the Son of God. It says he will be great, the greatest person to ever grace the earth. In fact, Peter in Acts 4:12, he says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Just the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, which is a title reserved for God Himself, the true and living God of the universe. And here we have the second person of the Godhead, born into human flesh, would also be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And also this Jesus will be the eternal King. Being born of David's line qualified him for the throne. Being born of God qualified him to reign forever. Being born of a virgin qualified him to be the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one of God. Listen to some scriptures here. This is before and after. Isaiah 7:14, we've read it once already. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." A sign. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then it all culminates. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." What Word? Well, I think certainly the passages from Isaiah are included here. The Word of God became flesh. He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then that Word is named in John 1:16 and 17. "And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And as God was about to give the greatest gift that has ever been given, He prepared an undeserved honor. And if you have trusted Christ for salvation from sin, take a moment out of your busy week and thank God for the grace that He showered upon you, that you should be called children of God. In fact, Ephesians 2:5 puts it this way, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together in Christ, for by grace you have been saved." The greatest gifts are oftentimes the ones that we don't deserve. Lastly, this morning, God prepared an unimaginable event. God prepared an unimaginable event. And as I thought about illustrating an unimaginable event, I realized that I was in a bit of an ironic situation. Because if I could come up with an illustration, then it's not unimaginable. And if I could come up with it, or excuse me, if I could not come up with an illustration, then it truly was unimaginable, but I still don't have an illustration, okay? So we'll just make this statement. What Mary was told by Gabriel was beyond what she was capable of comprehending. So Mary pondered this unimaginable event. Listen to verse 34. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" Mary didn't ask this question out of disbelief. In fact, I believe she asked it out of faith. She believed the message, just couldn't quite comprehend how it could be. And here's what I mean by that. Now, I am not an advocate of the lottery, okay? But for illustration purposes, imagine that I won $20 million. I figure we'll make it a good one, all right? So imagine that I won $20 million. I had the winning ticket right there in my hand, as plain as the nose on my face. The numbers that were called were the exact numbers on my ticket. The newspapers got a hold of it. They published it in the paper. Before a live TV audience, I was presented with a cashier's check for $20 million. It was all real. All of these things have come together. I see them. There's no doubt in my mind that I have won $20 million. However, there is one question that I have. How can this be? I didn't buy a ticket. I see all the evidence. It's as plain. I got the check right there in my hand. It's true. But how can this be? I never bought a ticket. I believe that's the same sort of thing that is going through Mary's mind. And that's why she asked this question. She says, Gabriel, I understand everything that you're telling me now. All of the numbers match. Everything lines up. But Gabriel, it was asked out of faith. It was asked out of faith. How can I conceive? I've never been with a man. Mary pondered this unimaginable event. Mary listened then to the unimaginable explanation. Listen to this, verse 35 through 37. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Mary listened to this unimaginable explanation. And here's Gabriel's explanation. He says, first of all, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And really speaking in terms that Mary could bend her mind around, Gabriel basically told her that Joseph would not be the father, but rather the very Spirit of God would do a miraculous work right inside of your body. A human baby will be miraculously conceived. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then he says, the power of God will overshadow you. Now these words, as we look at the context of Scripture, are extremely unimaginable. Because this terminology is also applied to the Jewish temple in Exodus chapter 40, verse 35, where the Holy of Holies was overshadowed by the Spirit of God. Now, the Holy of Holies was the innermost sacred part of the temple. It was where the presence of God resided. And only one person a year could go into that room and minister. And if he did it wrong, he would be struck dead immediately. Now get this. This terminology from the temple, Holy of Holies. He overshadowed the Holy of Holies in the form of a cloud. And he says here, the power of God will overshadow you. And this statement is basically saying that your body, Mary, your womb is going to serve as the Holy of Holies. Can you believe she didn't faint? Can you imagine? The very presence of God is going to be in you. He also told her the Holy One will be God's Son. Jesus will be born into human flesh, susceptible to every earthly influence, experience, temptation, yet because he is the Holy One, the Christ, the Son of God, he would not fall into them. In fact, 1 Peter 2:22 says, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Titus 2:13 calls Jesus the great God and Savior. 100% man, 100% God. All in one being, conceived in the womb of a godly young Jewish girl. The impossible is possible with God. Gabriel ends with an encouragement saying, basically, God can do this. He can do this because even your relative Elizabeth, who is in her old age and barren, has conceived of her husband. Okay? With God, nothing will be impossible. Mary pondered this unimaginable event. She listened to the unimaginable explanation, and then as a result of her faith, she accepted the unimaginable explanation. Unimaginable expectation. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Upon hearing this unimaginable explanation, Mary just said, "I'm your servant. I'm yours. I know I don't belong to me. I belong to you. Do with me as you say, according to your word." You know, we live in a world today where that is not the thinking. People think that it is their right to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and use their bodies as they please. They abuse their bodies as they please, with what they eat, what they don't eat, what they drink, what they the drugs they take, chemicals, whatever. They base decisions about their bodies on convenience, on pleasure, on money. People use their bodies really for very selfish and foolish purposes. In fact, I even read an article, this was years ago that I read this, but the article said that one out of every 10 people flying from Jamaica to the United States, one out of every 10 on board a plane is using their body as a mule to transport illegal drugs. One out of 10! And then one of those about every month dies as a result. They're willing to put their life on the line for foolish and selfish things. And then here we have the great example, Mary. A godly young teenager who literally gave her body to God to bring forth his son. She understood that she belonged to the Lord and he could do with her as he pleases. And if you will, for a minute, literally, Mary gave her body as a mule to transport God from heaven to earth. Wow. Wow. And as God was about to give the greatest gift that has ever been given, he prepared an unimaginable event, the conception and birth of the Savior. And if you have trusted in Christ for salvation from sin, take a moment out of your busy week, perhaps even putting yourself in Mary's shoes, and give thanks to God for this unimaginable event. Unimaginable event. If you have not trusted in Christ for salvation from your sin, if you are not certain where you will spend eternity when you die, trust in Christ right now. Trust in him. Place the full weight of your faith on him, because that is why God made these preparations. That is why God gave a sign. That is why God gave His Son. The greatest gifts are beyond our wildest imagination. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. A well-known theologian was once asked to explain the gospel, and after thinking about all of the intricacies and all of the different ways that he could answer and all the different explanations, he said, well, let me simply give it to you this way. And he quoted from a children's hymn. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The great truths of our faith can be expressed in very simple terms. They can also be expressed in very, very complex terms and accounts that are beyond our wildest imagination. In fact, Paul said, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And we have seen that this morning. We have seen that this morning through an unexpected encounter, an undeserved honor, and an unimaginable event. And my encouragement to you this morning is just take time out of your busy schedule this week. These things are worthy of your time. Believe me, they're worthy of your time. Take time out of your Christmas preparations and reflect on God's Christmas preparations. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do just come to you so humbly this morning, knowing that we are completely and utterly unworthy of what you have done for us. We deserve none of this. In fact, we deserve judgment. That's what our lives have earned us. But Lord, knowing our problem, foreseeing our problem, and loving us so much that you put in place a solution. You sent your own Son to become one of us, into the filth of a sin-filled world, to live a perfect life, take our sin upon yourself, and die a perfect death on our behalf, so that all we would have to do is trust in what your Son has done, and we have you for eternity. Thank you, Lord God, for that this morning, and I do pray that our thoughts would turn often to that in this next week in particular. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.